Hello and welcome to Desert Island Risks, a series of podcasts presented by both John Harney and myself, Jennifer Michelle, where we'll be sharing results from our recently published Global Pension Risk Survey. Within this series, John and I will be casting our various guests away to a desert island with a copy of Aon's recently published Global Pension Risk Survey, where they'll have endless time to think about their defined benefit pension schemes and the latest risks that they face. Today, we'll be discussing ESG, and my guest today is Jennifer O'Neill, who is a partner within our investment practice. Welcome to the island, Jennifer.
Great to see you, Jennifer.
So just looking at the survey here, I can see that 40% of respondents are already implementing ESG within their equity investments. But then if we look at illiquids, for example, I can see 50% are not planning to implement ESG within the next 12 to 24 months. So where do you see this disparity between asset classes go in the future?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I think what the survey shows us is that a number of our survey respondents have started with the equity components of their portfolio and they've taken action there first. So when we look at other asset classes, credit, illiquids, as you've mentioned, and also LDI, the actions taken are less at this point than is the case in the equity slice of portfolios. So equity is a very natural starting point for investors that are beginning to make changes to their portfolios to align with their ESG preferences. But what I would suggest is that we are likely to see more focus on other areas and other asset classes going forward. It can be more difficult to imagine what that looks like and to incorporate those changes in areas where there's greater homogeneity and greater disparities within levels of transparency, for example. So I think that's why the survey is telling us that illiquid asset classes are further out into the future in terms of when our respondents may be wishing to look at those. So what I would suggest to listeners to the podcast is that thinking about your responsible investment journey should be across your total portfolio. So determine where your starting point is. That may well be the equity component. That may well be where it is most feasible and most achievable to take action sooner. But don't restrict yourself to that one component. Think about this in a broader sense and think about how this connects to the overall objectives that you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of other factors that could affect ESG focus and implementation, does size of the scheme matter, for example?
I think very much so, and that's from a number of perspectives. So firstly, when thinking about schemes at the larger end of the spectrum, they typically have greater resources to draw upon, whether that be an internal team or greater ability to delegate and implement decisions using service providers that they partner with. So when it comes to the smaller end of the pension fund spectrum, there is a finite governance budget, and there's also a finite operational budget that those schemes have at their disposal. So what that means is that we tend to see those larger schemes having greater flexibility both to customise the way that they're investing, so choosing mandates that are aligned to their preferences, than those smaller schemes do, and greater ability to flex their decision making around their preferences as well. So I think scheme size does have an impact on both ability to implement changes and the pace at which those changes can be made. Now, what I would suggest is that that can be a mechanism and a reason for considering the governance model that is being used. So increasingly, we are seeing schemes look at ways to make that more efficient while still retaining the oversight and the ability to implement change at the speed that they require. So thinking about the governance model that's used and the way that that translates to investment implementation is an action that I think will be on many trustee board agendas looking forward.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. And again, looking at the survey, I can see that 87% of respondents are engaged, so to speak, with the subject of voting and engagement, and 22% want to develop their own stewardship policy. So how would everything you've just mentioned work in this context?
That's right, Jennifer. So looking at what the survey is telling us, 22% of those that responded to our survey do want to customise their approach to voting and engagement itself. So whilst that doesn't represent a majority, it is a sizable proportion of schemes. It's over a fifth of schemes that are looking to do something that is customized to their preferences and beliefs and objectives. So I think that's a really encouraging statistic, particularly when we consider that the tone and content of regulation from TPR, from the DWP and others is very much in the direction that schemes should take ownership of their approach to asset stewardship, engagement and voting. Now, if I could turn to the other side of the coin, so schemes that don't necessarily want to do something bespoke or something custom, that is the majority position. Now, I think an impact there that we've just touched on is around scheme size. So again, going back to that point around governance budget and the ability to implement a policy that can be applied consistently over that scheme's portfolios and way of working is easier to do when there is a larger pot of resources available, whether that be in terms of people or in terms of ability to introduce customized mandates, segregated portfolios, for example, or bespoke terms. So size of scheme will have an impact on that as well. So I think we're seeing a very consistent story and message across those areas of our survey.
And something else I've picked up on is that over 50% of respondents this year have said that their scheme aligns to the ESG targets or net zero goals of their sponsor. So I don't know if you could tell us a bit more about what the key considerations are to think about when it comes to this.
I thought that was a really interesting one, actually. So half of our respondents suggesting that they're aligned with their sponsor's own objectives and net zero goals. So firstly, I think that's very encouraging. If we look back over history, that has increased markedly over time. And to me, that shows the increasing potential and ability for pension funds to think about those broader objectives and how they might tie in with what the sponsor themselves are committing to. So this can be an area where there is real potential for alignment and a collegiate working relationship between the sponsor and the trustee. So I think that's very encouraging. Now, in terms of what that means, particularly when we're thinking about setting net zero commitments, that will involve a degree of portfolio analysis. And it is likely also to involve a degree of portfolio change looking ahead into the future. So what's really important is to make sure that those changes and that analysis is supported by the broader strategic direction and objectives of the scheme, so that the pace of de-risking activity, for example, is consistent with what that decarbonisation objective may be, and the levers that scheme trustees are able to pull are consistent with the asset classes and mandates that are employed by that scheme at any particular point in time. So what I would say is that whilst this is a complex area, and it's one that schemes should think about quite carefully before making commitments and setting objectives, it's not something to be scared of. And actually, we've seen some really positive conversations and engagement between pension fund trustees and sponsoring employers on exactly this topic. So I think the survey is telling us a story that is likely to continue into the future.
No, that's really, really insightful. And so imagine this, it's your first day back from this island. What's the first tip that you would give your clients based on everything we've discussed today?
Well, having had a nice lengthy holiday and time to review the Global Pension Risk Survey in full on my desert island, what I would come back to is that there are many dimensions of risks. So thinking about this in a way that makes sense and connects to broader strategic objectives and conversations is really important. That can mean that the shorter term immediate risks are not ultimately the biggest. Thinking about what those longer term horizon risks are, making sure that you are aware and horizon scanning to pick up on those future longer term risks is a very important exercise. For example, we've been using scenario analysis tools and exploring these areas with pension funds to make sure that we are thinking about what could lie beyond the short term. So thinking about it with that lens is my top tip for any listeners.
That's brilliant. Thanks for sharing, and thank you for discussing this with me today. For all our listeners out there, look out for further episodes to come within this series. There's a link that you can click on within the show notes, and you'll be able to download a copy of the survey findings. And if you have any questions or comments or want to discuss anything further, then please just contact your usual Aon consultant or any of us. Jennifer, I'll cast you back home now. But thank you all very much for listening, and see you next time.
Thanks, Jennifer. Absolute pleasure.